Greetings, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, broadcasting live from the little cottage on the shores of Lake Springfield. It's our last day broadcasting here for a while, and we've got a good rain going on here, which is incrementally melting the middle of the lake, which is really cool to watch. Well, we've got a special devotion today. It's called Earthen Vessels. And I think I wasn't even here at Vine Street Christian Church a year when, for this fair, Pastor John the Baptist, preached a sermon about earthen vessels and that wonderful text from Paul about how we all have feats of clay and we're all clay vessels and that what really counts is what's on the inside. And I remember he brought a plastic water bottle, you know, the kind that have become the kind of enemy of all environmental activists, these plastic water bottles. And he talked about the plastic water bottle and, you know, the danger of it and the harm of it. But then he reminded us that it's what's inside that bottle that matters, that's a value, that keeps us alive, and that's the water. And the water is indispensable. And he talked about that in comparison with Paul's little sermon on being earthen vessels ourselves, and that indeed we are cracked and chipped, scratched, right? But what's inside is what counts. And only God can give us that. So, with that being said as a setup, I'll let you know that we have the monks chanting the chant of the mystics. Let me bring them in the room here. And we've got the hot pink candle of unknown scent burning brightly. And this. That's the Bigelow 100% organic green tea. With a little dash of powdered creamer. Amen. It's kind of a golden beige color. That green tea is the gold nectar of the gods. Amen. Well, let's hear Michael Casey from his book Balaam's Donkey and his little devotional about earthen vessels. I often think that St. James, the son of Zebedee, not the brother of Jesus, but James, the son of Zebedee, gets a raw deal. In his feast day liturgy, the gospel read is not the one that celebrates his prompt response to the call of the Lord or his faithful following in the years afterward, but rather his momentary lapse when he and his brother come forward to advance their case for priority seating at the eternal banquet. There can be something instructive for us in this, if we so choose. St. Paul reminds us that we hold the treasure of grace in earthen vessels. There is no doubt that God's grace works wonders in our lives, but yet we still have feet of clay. We are sometimes severe on ourselves, and more often on others, when hidden vices make their appearance in an otherwise fairly blameless life. It is not always clear that we understand the difference between being good and being seen to be good. Being good and being seen to be good. For the Pharisees said, to some extent, for all of us, being seen to be good is very important. It is as though our efforts at virtue are being reinforced or subsidized by the approval we receive from others. We receive a kind of virtue dividend, a payback for all the effort we have expended in avoiding sin, or at least public sin. I imagine most celebrities are very cautious about whatever they say or wherever they go, because they know that a single unguarded moment might throw their reputation into jeopardy. And when this happens, there is unbridled delight among the tabloid-reading masses. Yet, we need to recognize that we, too, are vulnerable. We may not have much of a reputation to spoil, but we can cause ourselves and our loved ones great grief when some of our hitherto undetected aberrations are published abroad. We should give less emphasis to being seen to be good and more emphasis to being good and truthful and honest. This involves recognizing the inherent tendencies that go against our fundamental orientation. All of us are marred by weakness, blindness, and malice. We will survive, first of all, by owning these liabilities so that we can begin fighting against them. And as people living in glass houses, being slow to condemn them and others. Maybe St. James was ambitious. Maybe we are. We will be far from perfect until God wills otherwise. Meanwhile, we can be sure that the Lord does not repent of the choices made. Even though our level of virtue is not as high as we would wish, or our reputation as spotless as we would hope that others judge it to be, yet we are still loved by God with a love that is unconditioned by our failures. Amen. Well, today I've selected a favorite poem of mine from the collection of Mary Oliver. Amy and I have been surrounded by geese during this little retreat. They fly in together, they gather around together, they spend the day together, then they fly out together, and then the deer come in. We saw two beautiful bucks last night in our backyard, and they just seemed to walk right toward us and look at us as strangely as we were looking at them. But it's the geese I want to focus on today. This is Mary Oliver's wonderful poem called Snow Geese. Oh, to love what is lovely and will not last. What a task to ask of anything or anyone. Yet it is ours, and not by the century or the year, but by the hours. One fall day, I heard above me and above the sting of the wind a sound I did not know. And my look shot upward. It was a flock of snow geese, winging it faster than the ones we usually see, and, being the color of snow, catching the sun, so they were, in part at least, golden. I held my breath, as we do sometimes, to stop time when something wonderful has touched us. As with a match which is lit and bright, but does not hurt in the common way, but delightfully, as if delight were the most serious thing you ever felt. The geese flew on. I have never seen them again. Maybe I will, someday, somewhere. Maybe I won't. It doesn't matter. What matters is that when I saw them as through the veil, secretly, joyfully, clearly. Amen. Let's hear that one more time. Snow Geese by Mary Oliver. Oh, to love what is lovely and will not last. What a task to ask of anything or anyone, yet it is ours. And not by the century or the year, but by the hours. One fall day, I heard above me, and above the sting of the wind, a sound I did not know, and my look shot upward. It was a flock of snow geese, winging it faster than the ones we usually see, and, being the color of snow, catching the sun, so they were, in part at least, golden. I held my breath, as we do sometimes, to stop time when something wonderful has touched us, as with a match which is lit and bright, but does not hurt in the common way, but delightfully, as if delight were the most serious thing you ever felt. The geese flew on. I have never seen them again. Maybe I will, someday, somewhere. Maybe I won't. It doesn't matter. What matters is that when I saw them as through the veil, secretly, joyfully, clearly. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, you know the clay of which we are made, and you are compassionate with our slowness in virtue and our promptness in delaying the goodness we can accomplish. Teach us to trust in your ever-affirming love so that we stand in truth before you, unabashed by our own need for your comprehensive mercy. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord, Jesus our King. Amen.